Okay, well, you may remember a while back, it does feel like it's a while back now, back in September, I preached on David and Goliath and the five stones. And when I preached that, I remember feeling that God wanted me to follow up with that preach with the story of Gideon. It's just what I felt, can't explain why. Obviously, I hadn't preached since then. So I'm preaching this today, and I really want to talk about Gideon. He is just another example of an ordinary man in the hands of an extraordinary God with an extraordinary purpose. And for those who've got really, really good memories, you might even remember that I preached on Gideon in church here back in 2015. And I went back and I looked at my notes. I really trust that what God has given me this morning will be fresh and different to what I preached back then. I want to talk about overcoming our fears, okay? Overcoming our fears. And I also want to kind of introduce what's in the subtitle there, pray as you go. Not pay as you go, pray as you go. And I'll come on to that a bit later. And you'll be glad to see our Lego characters are back. Yes. I know you love the Lego characters. Well, the story of Gideon we find in chapters 6 and 7 of Judges. I'm not going to read through the whole story. It would just take too long. And I'm just going to trust that most of us know the story well enough. But what we're going to do is just going to dip into it as we go along. Just to give you some background, the Israelites are now in the Promised Land, okay, out of exile in Egypt, into the Promised Land. Joshua is long dead, and they've been led now by a series of people we call judges. And that God brings into their lives. And usually what happens, if things are going great and everything's fine, but then they lose their way and they get into a mess, they call on God and God sends someone to rescue them, and that's a judge. And that's exactly what's been happening here. At this particular point in time, they've been overpowered by a nation called the Midianites. They were stealing all their crops, and the Israelites were near to starvation. And so they cry out for help to God, and God shows up. And he shows up in front of Gideon. And what he says to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, he says this. He says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Some translations say mighty warrior or mighty man of valor, a courageous warrior, brave man, all these big words. Now I could do a whole preach just on that one verse alone. I know I could, but I know that God doesn't want me to do that. So I'm having to discipline myself to move on from some of these really important verses. And I hope you'll forgive me. Think, oh yeah, why isn't he talking about that? Because I want to stay true to what I feel God is saying to me. All I would say about that particular verse is, you know, when God says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you, Gideon doesn't feel that way about himself. He doesn't think of himself as a mighty hero. But what really gets this story going is what happens next. And it's just a small word, but it sends shivers down Gideon's spine, I think. And God says in verse 14 of chapter 6, says, "Go and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you." What small word do you think sent shivers down?
Go.
Go. Go. Oh, go. God says, go. It's really interesting because if you look in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Go and rescue the people I love from the clutches of Satan." That's mission. That's mission. You know, Jesus said it to his disciples. And I feel God is saying it to Gideon, go and rescue my people. This story that we're going to look at is about how Gideon responds to this mission to go and rescue his people. And as I go through this story, I'm sure we'll be able to apply it in lots of different ways personally, depending on what God is calling you to do or go through at the moment, or challenges and trials. And I would encourage you apply this word in whatever way you feel God is speaking to you at the moment. But for me, I just feel God is rekindling this sense of, well, what is my brief? You know, what's it all about? And it's about mission. It's about, you know, we've got to go and rescue a lost world. And I feel that's where God's heartbeat is right now. If we move on into verse 12, we see the kind of, what's the qualification for going? Do we need to be in a particular state before we go? And I actually missed out a little bit from that verse that I read. When I said, go and rescue Israel from the Midianites, I'm sending you. What the scripture actually says is, go in the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. Now, I could rephrase that badly. I could rephrase it, go in your own strength and rescue Israel. And I've spent years, haven't I, preaching about not doing things in your own strength. But actually, it doesn't say do in your own strength. It says go. And there's a big difference between going and doing. It's about taking, you know, are you willing to even take that first step of faith? And we've talked about those first steps in the past, haven't we? How paralyzingly difficult taking that first step of faith can be. Of course, it doesn't actually say go in your own strength. It says go in the strength you have. And what strength does Gideon have? The answer is in the first scripture that we read, the Lord is with you. I am with you. The strength that Gideon has is the fact that he is with God, or God is with him. It's the same words, incidentally, that Jesus said to his disciples, go and I am with you. And it's the same for us. It's about with God. And if I, you know, if you forget everything else I say, and I hope you don't, but if you forget everything else I say, if you can just remember two words, with God, actually have, you really pick up the essence of what I want to share this morning, because with God is really all that matters. And it's all that you really need. So this man Gideon, he doesn't think much of himself. He's been told to go and rescue the Israelites from the Midianites, and he's full of fear. So how does he move from this place of fear to actually rise up and actually do what God wants him to do? And essentially that's what I want to talk about. So I have 3 points. Firstly, overcoming the fear of the mind. Secondly, letting go of the security of the flesh. And thirdly, stepping into faith in the Spirit. So we know from earlier that Gideon had a fairly low opinion of himself in relation to everybody else. I'm the least of the, least in the Israel, I'm the least of the family. But I don't think his fear is rooted in his self-esteem. I think what Gideon was most fearful of them at this point in time is, am I really hearing God? He didn't doubt the power of God. He's a godly man and he knew God. Am I really hearing God? How many of us can identify with this? In verse 17 it says, if you are truly going to help me, then show me a sign to prove that it really is the Lord speaking to me. That's what we all want to know, really, isn't it? It's not that we don't believe God can do something. We just want to know that it's God actually speaking to us. And it's really important because, you know, right from the beginning of time, in the time of Adam and Eve, that's exactly how Satan got under the skin of Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Right from the start, sowing doubt as to, am I really hearing God? Did God really say this? And, you know, and that's what we say to ourselves. Am I really hearing God, or is it just me? Have you ever said that? Is it just me thinking it? And what if I'm wrong? Have you ever said that to yourself? Don't you find yourself thinking these things when God wants you to do something? Go and speak to that person. Go and help that person. Go and bring this word. Do all these things. And, you know, is it really God speaking to me? You've probably even thought that on a Sunday morning. You might have even thought it this morning. You know, God puts something in your heart and you're kind of, your heart's pounding. Oh God, should I do this? Should I do this? Am I really hearing God? Is, you know, what's going to happen? Am I going to send the meeting off in a tangent? You know, all these fears go into our minds. Am I really hearing God? So what does Gideon do? Well, he goes off and he prepares some food. He puts the food on a rock And immediately what happens is fire comes down, it consumes all the food, and the angel that's speaking to him disappears. Now, if that happened to you, would that kind of make you believe? It kind of would, wouldn't it? I mean, that's not an everyday event. You would think that by now he would be believing. Well, it is enough to get Gideon to take his first step, the first step often being the most difficult step. And what God tells him to go and do next is, it says, go and destroy the altars of Baal and replace them with the altar to the Lord. And he does that by night. He does that first step. Kind of God has taken him to the next base. I was thinking about that this morning, kind of the next base. You know, sometimes we all want a home run. Hit it so hard, we get all the way around and back in one go. But often the things of God, it's not about striking a home run. It's just getting to the next base. Just the next base. That's good enough for God. And then he'll take you to the next base. And eventually, you'll achieve the run. You'll eventually get back to where God wants you to be if you're prepared just to take a step at a time. And here, God says to Gideon, go and destroy the altars of Baal. Well, here is another verse I probably could do a whole preach on. And God says, no, don't do that. So the only thing I'd say about this is, for me, this is about who's on the throne. Baal or God? Who's on the throne of your life? Who's really controlling things? Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you responding to? Whose voice are you obedient to? Because if you're going to do the things that God wants you to do, you better make sure that God is firmly on the throne of your life, and it's him that you obey and you listen to. So the next big thing we see is, after all the altars of Baal have been destroyed, is the Midianites get a bit angry, and they pull together their army and they make alliances and they cross over the border, and the Midianites now are ready for war. And then in verse 34, it says that the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon, who immediately pulls together his own army. Hooray! We finally seem to be getting somewhere now. Gideon, he seems to be full of the power of the Spirit and he's ready to go. Or is he? Is he really ready to go? Because do you know what happens next? I know you haven't got the story in front of you. The infamous fleece test. Okay? So we just when we thought he's all gung-ho and he's going to ready to go and he's got his army ready, he says, actually, Lord, you know, just to be 100% certain that I'm really, 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 really hearing you, I'm going to put this fleece on the ground, and overnight I want you to make the fleece soaking wet and all the ground around, out, you know, around it dry. Well, overnight, God does exactly that. Wakes up, fleece is wet, ground is dry. Fantastic. You would think that would be enough, but not for Gideon, because he thinks, well, okay, Lord, but, you know, that might just be condensation rising up and it's just a bit wet. It's fair enough, isn't it? So I said, let's do it the other way round. So I said, God, if it's really you talking to me, then make all the ground completely wet around and make the fleece bone dry. And of course, God does that. You see, Gideon all the time keeps saying to God, God, prove it. I need to know that I'm really hearing you. That's the thing that really matters to me most. He still has fears. He has doubts. He's seen an angel disappear in front of him. He's experienced the power of the Holy Spirit come upon him, but he still needs more proof. I love it, because if you remember right back from when I spoke about Abraham, you know, this another mighty man of God, another ordinary man in the hands of an extraordinary God. You know, Abraham had all sorts of weaknesses and doubts and fears and things. You know, we read about these mighty men of faith in Hebrews 11. They are just like you and me. And Gideon, mighty hero, is just like you and me. And he needs reassurance. He needs proof. He needs God to somehow demonstrate to him that, you know, he really is hearing God. Fleeces, I think, are interesting, because, you know, you are in some ways putting God to the test. That God, if it's you, prove it this way. And Gideon even told God what to do. He didn't just say, God, prove it. He said, God, if it's you, do this. How many of us have done the fleece test? Okay, you may not have actually put a fleece out on the ground, but you say, God, if this is really you, then I want this to happen. I want that to happen. I want to bump into this person. I want to, you know, and we kind of lay these conditions down, don't we, in order to somehow bring ourselves into a place of faith. Now, I'm not fundamentally against fleeces as a principle of, you know, asking God to prove himself to us. But I would suggest that we need to treat these things with caution. And the reason I would say we need to be cautious about fleeces is if you cast your mind back to the story of the Israelites in Egypt and all the tests that Moses had to do in front of Pharaoh and the Pharaoh's court, every time Moses did a miracle, what happened? Everybody else did the same miracle. Now, Satan is amazingly good at imitating the things of God. So we really have to be careful putting too much weight on these kinds of proofs, because Satan can do it too. And I've often said to people as well about pushing doors. You know, we often have this thing, well, push the door, if it opens, go through. Well, that's not always a good idea if the door leads you into somewhere that's really bad and dangerous. Just because a door opens doesn't necessarily mean that God opened it. Satan can open doors too. So don't not do fleeces, but be very careful about putting too much emphasis and weight on what the fleece tells you. Anyway, this final test does seem to have made some difference to Gideon, because, you know, after this final test, we find out that he's motivated, he's overcome the fear in his mind, he's got his army together. But there's something else that Gideon needs to work through, and this is the second thing that I want to talk about, which is letting go of the flesh. Letting go of the security of the flesh. It says in Judges chapter 7, verse 1, that Gideon and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. And this was pretty close to where the Midianite army were camped. I checked it on Google Maps. Now, what's really important here is that even before Gideon felt 100% ready, he got his army and he went. I think that is really important. He wasn't ready, but he still went. And, you know, Nikki last week, she talked about, you know, if you wait to feel ready, or if you keep waiting, you won't do things. And I really believe that's true. You know, we could wait till the cows come home, you know, for some perfect situation and condition, but, you know, we'll always be waiting. God wants us to go. God wants us to go, even in the fear and uncertainty that we have, and go and trust him. I mean, why do I think Gideon was still not feeling ready? Well, if we move on to the next bit. Gideon marches out with 32,000 men ready to fight the Midianites. 32,000 men. So that was his interpretation of go in the strength you have. It goes in the strength he has, plus some. Plus a great deal, 32,000 men. And God has to address this fear in Gideon, because it says in Judges 7 verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength." That's that phrase again, by their own strength. And God doesn't want it to be by their strength, he wants it by his strength. Well, you know, and that's the strength that Gideon has. It's not about his own strength. It's about the strength he has, which is with God. With God, those two words. There were too many men. Essentially, Gideon was trying to do what God wanted to do, but in the flesh. How many of us do that? You know, it's not with God's strength. This is the classic scripture, "I believe, help me with my unbelief." It's one of my favourite verses. I believe, help me with my unbelief. We always seem to be wrestling with knowing God can do something, knowing God speaking to me, but still wrestling with the fears and doubts. And we all do it, don't we? We all need our props. You know, we all need to hold on to the things, that the skills and the talents and the abilities that we have, because, well, at least I know I can do something. You know, I'm not going to fall completely flat on my face because I have some ability, and that's great. But, you know, God wants us to kind of let go of our securities and step in faith to what God wants us to do, to trust, truly trust in him. So God wants to strip Gideon down. What he does, through a series of tests, which we're not going to look at, Gideon's army ends up 300 men. Now, the Midianites had 135,000 men. You'll find that if you look up in chapter 8. So they've got 300 men. And the mathematicians amongst you will say that, well, that is an odds of 450-1. 450-1. And if you really want to do any more maths, you'd realise, well, with 32,000 men, it was still not great odds. It was about 4-1. You know, so you've got to give Gideon some credit. He was willing to go to war, you know, at a 4-1 disadvantage. But nevertheless, you know, that he could really psych himself up. So, well, I can do this 4-1. Who cares? Yeah, I can do it. But God said, no, yeah, you're not going to do this in your own strength. I'm going to ramp this up a little bit. 4-1, you can probably you could do that in your own strength. But 450-1? Don't think you're going to be able to do that in your own strength, Gideon, are you? So God has to strip Gideon down. And I love the scripture in James 1. You know, it's a well-known scripture. When your faith's tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be strong in character, ready for anything. See, God actually does want to get us ready. He wants us to bring us to a place of genuine faith, something we feel truly on the inside of us. The trouble is, when God strips us down, it doesn't feel great. It makes us feel a bit vulnerable. It makes us feel a bit insecure. But he is getting us ready. So how do you think right now Gideon is feeling? Okay, he kind of stepped out in faith, ready to go and fight this war. And he was fearful all along. And he went off with 32,000 men. And God said, you've got too many men. So he strips him right down to 300 men. And now is the other side of the valley, I suspect, you know, quite close, ready for war with 300 men to fight 135,000 men. How do you think Gideon is feeling right now? Scared? Yes, sick, vulnerable, fearful. I mean, all those words are going to be describing how Gideon is feeling right now. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says this: my grace is all you need. My power works best. Okay, note that word, best. It's there for a reason. My power works best in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Gideon is exactly where God wanted him to be. God wanted Gideon to be a place of weakness, vulnerable, insecure, all these things, because this is when God now is going to be able to step up and demonstrate his power. So his mind might have overcome things in his mind now that God had done enough tests and, you know, got the brain in gear, said, yeah, okay, I've seen enough, I've heard enough, I believe God can do this. He's overcome the insecurity of the flesh. He's had to let go of that army, but something still is playing on Gideon's mind. And God's very gracious. He said, look, if you're afraid, then I'll give you more men. I'll give you more strong men. Is that what God says to him? It isn't. If you look it up, it's not there. I'll give you extra weapons. Doesn't say that. I'll give you horses and chariots. Doesn't say that. These are all the kind of things that we would probably pray for. If you think about it, what would I pray for if I was in Gideon's shoes right now? God, give me more men, give me horses, give me weapons, give me something that, you know, I'll have a great sense I'm going to... No, none of those things. What does God do? He says, no, if you're afraid, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what the Midianites are saying. And you will be greatly encouraged. You'll be eager to attack. Some translations, in fact, many translations say, you know, go and listen. Your hands will be strengthened. I love that phrase. Go and listen, and your hands will be strengthened. Now, we're getting into the zone of this preach now where I'm kind of, even I can't feel the depth of what God is really trying to say to us. I just know that I feel something. I just know that there's something in this going down and listening and allowing God to strengthen us to do what God wants us to do. And I know that Gideon, at this point, when God says this, I know Gideon is still afraid. Do you know how I know that Gideon is still afraid? Because he goes and does it. says, if you're afraid, go and listen. And he actually does go and listen. And what does he hear? He hears that the Midianites are having dreams. And in their dreams, they're dreaming about being overpowered by Gideon and God. That God had given Gideon the victory. This is what he's hearing. Now, I always talk about using our imagination. So I just want us to immerse ourselves in this bit of the story and try and picture it. You know, you've seen enough ancient war films and Bible films and things like this. Imagine, there's a whole army. They're probably camped out. They may have some forms of tents or they might have fires, but they're camped out. And this one man, Gideon, and his servant, Purah, they go into enemy territory. Now, these Midianites, they're probably not shouting because it's the middle of the night. So they'll probably get thumped if they shout. But somehow there's a few of them have woken up and say, oh, I had a crazy dream. And they're talking quietly or even whispering to each other. I had a crazy dream. I dreamt that somehow Gideon and God, they come and they destroyed us. And Gideon is close enough to hear what they're saying. I mean, he's right in there. He's right in enemy territory. And he's listening as listening can be. And he's hearing what God is going to do. He's hearing that God has gone before and God's going to give him victory. You need to immerse yourself in the story to really appreciate, I think, the importance of what's going on here. What's really interesting is this. Remember, we talked about tests. God do this, God do that, God do the other in order to prove. Gideon didn't tell God to do this. In fact, this is the other way around. If you really want to come to faith, then you do this. And what Gideon did, he obeyed God and he went right into the enemy territory and somehow profoundly heard something that was going to make a difference to his spirit. Now, again, how do I explain why this has made a difference to Gideon? Why just hearing what these dreams, why has that profoundly made Gideon now come into faith? Because he comes back and he says to his army, hey, get up, we're ready, you've got to go and fight, God's given us the victory. Something happens to Gideon in that moment when he's down in enemy territory listening to what the people are saying. It's a bit of a mystery. But what I feel God is saying to me is that if you really, really want to hear God, if you really want to experience faith, then you need to be where God is calling you to go. We prefer to pray in church, or we prefer to pray in home group, or we prefer to pray in the safety of our home. Pray in the closet. These are the kind of things that this is where we feel comfortable praying. And I'm not saying don't do that. There's an important place for praying in the private place. But this is not where Gideon was. This is what I call pray as you go. Gideon was feeling insecure, uncertain. He kind of knew God was speaking to him, but he still was wrestling with unbelief and doubts and fear and all these things. But what did he do? He went exactly to where God told him to go. And that's what brought him ultimately to the place where he knew he had the victory. It's pray as you go. And, somehow we just need to overcome our fears to get us beyond the place of prayer, not in place of the place of prayer. We need to get beyond the place of prayer and go. And keep praying and keep believing that God will speak to us and show us and strengthen us whilst we are on the go. What was the song we were just singing earlier? Grace abounds in deepest waters. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. It's not in the shallow. In the shallow, what are you standing on? Your own 2 feet. Standing in my own strength in the shallow. It's only when you're in the deep do you really, really, really experience what you need to experience, for God to bring you to that place of faith. So, you might still not feel equipped. You might feel unworthy. You might feel because you've sinned, there's stuff in your life that's not sorted out yet, that how could God possibly use me? You might argue it's not the right time right now. You might argue that the circumstances aren't quite right, that all the moons aren't lined up or whatever. You might want to say, when all this happens, then the time and circumstances will be better. You might even be saying, why not somebody else? Surely somebody over there, they've got all the right skills and they've got the time and they've got the contacts and they've got this, that and the other. Surely that should be the... you might be saying all these things. But what God is saying to you is go and listen. Go and listen. And I wish somehow I knew how to get to the depths of that phrase, go and listen. But I'm telling you, I feel in my spirit there's something that God just wants to impart to us all. That we need. He wants us to be a mobile people who are not paralyzed by fear, and not paralyzed by our own strength. But go and listen, and you will see that I have given you the victory. Belief has moved from his head to his heart, and that's what faith is. Gideon really is an ordinary man in the hands of an extraordinary God with an extraordinary purpose. If you read on in the story, which we're not going to do, you'll see that God really does go before him. They shine lights and make lots of noise and scares the living daylights out of the Midianites. They run in panic all over the place. They start fighting each other. I mean, it's absolute chaos. And it's exactly really what the Midianites had been dreaming about. It's with God. That's the key. It's with God. That's the strength that Gideon has, and that's the strength that we have. We need to reach this place where we can go. God's saying to you, go. I mean, I don't know what God is saying you to go where, to go and do, or whatever, but I suspect all the time God is saying, go and do this. Go and do that. Go and speak to this person. Go and help that person. Go and visit this person. Go and do this. Go and do that. Go and, you know what God's saying, go. But are you willing to go? Are you willing to go even though you have uncertainties and fears and doubts? It really is okay to have those feelings. It is, after all, the way God made us. To feel insecure, to have doubts and fears and uncertainties. It's not wrong. But God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to really overcome these fears. Let's summarize. Where are you on this journey that Gideon's been on? Are you still saying, not me? Who said that to yourself recently? Not me. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not important enough. There are other people better than me, etc., etc., etc. Is that where you're at? Or maybe you're still casting fleeces on the ground. God, I'll do it if this, I'll do it if that. If you do this, God, then I'll believe. Are you still hanging on to all your props and your supports and your safety mechanisms? Or maybe you're even further. Maybe God has stripped you right down. Maybe right now you're feeling really vulnerable because you know this is what God wants you to do, and he's kind of worked on you, and you think, I don't know about this anymore, God. But, you really are where God wants you to be. That's where you are in your journey. God says, go and listen. Go and listen with spiritual ears. If you're still afraid, I suspect many of us are, when God really starts leaning on us, and fear kicks in. God understands our fears, but he doesn't want you to stay in the place of fear. He really does want you to overcome. And the way to overcome is to go and listen. The way to overcome is actually not to stay in the closet, praying yourself into the place of faith. The thing to do is go out into the deep water, because that's where your faith will stand. That's where you'll find the grace abound. When you actually are willing to step out into the deep water. And why does God not want us to remain in fear? And this is really key. The reason he doesn't want you to remain in fear is because he wants you to go and rescue people from the clutches of Satan. That's what it's all about. That's what it's always been all about. We can get so consumed in just enjoying church, and we've said this so many times, we forget. that our mission is to go and save people, save the lost. And it's frightening, isn't it? It's, who still finds it difficult to share the gospel, you know, to come alongside someone and really talk heart to heart. But it's what we need to do. And God doesn't want us to remain in our fears, because he wants to rescue the world, and we're all meant to be involved in this mission. It's really what it's all about. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I want to finish just by reading that verse out that Dave shared. I've got it in my notes. I can do all things. That was the last thing that was in my notes. It's amazing that Dave should read that this morning. But I'm going to read it out in the Amplified, which is what he did. I can do all things which he has called me to do, through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. This is in the strength you have. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm ready for anything, and I'm equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confidence and peace. And that's what happened to Gideon when he went down and listened to the whispers of the army. God infused him with inner strength and confidence. We all need to be infused with that same spirit of overcoming faith, that so that we can go out and be the missional people that he's called us to be. Thanks.